On the subject of elections, I'd like to start with Rebecca Dow being brought back into the race in District 38, I believe. That is the Senate seat that had been held by John Arthur Smith forever. And then I think that's right, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I thought she represented Truth or Consequences.
Ah, is that not the Deming seat? Maybe I got that mixed up. It's possible I got that mixed up. Anyway, she was removed from the ballot over the way that she had submitted some of her signatures. The Secretary of State, photocopies, I think, was the issue. I don't know enough about the law and the legality in that case to have an incredibly informed opinion, but just as somebody from the outside looking in, any time a Secretary of State of either party removes a candidate from the other party, and then the court comes along and says, no, that's not proper, you shouldn't have done that, which is what happened in this case, that looks bad. I mean, that looks partisan. And that is kind of, one of the problems, I think, of, not having nonpartisan, just professional people handle our elections. We have elected people, Secretary of State and county clerk handling our elections. I don't know.
Well, as people pointed out, this is Rebecca Dow's fourth time running.
Yep.
So she is familiar with what all of the requirements are. And nobody else was disqualified from the ballot for submitting scans of voter petitions. So there does seem to have been some there. And I haven't read on what basis the New Mexico Supreme Court ruled against the attorney general of the state, who thought that she should not be on the ballot because she didn't comply with the rules. So had I read their decision, if they actually had any opinion along with their decision, I might be able to say better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we're kind of going more on
Vibes.
Vibes. I think that's fair. I heard the phone ring. We do not have color. Okay. I agree with that. I guess, my final point is, obviously, if she cheated, she shouldn't be on the ballot. But in general, I think voters are better off having a choice.
Oh, sure.
And so, anyway, but you are exactly correct that if she was the only one doing this, and if the law clearly spells, and I think that's the problem, is I don't think the law clearly spells out what you can and can't do.
It may not.
And so that gives a lot of discretion first to the Secretary of State and the county clerks, and then ultimately to the judges. Mm-hmm. So that part of it's never great. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the city's budget woes.
Yeah, I am surprised that they were surprised at the shortfall, because it seems like, okay, the new finance director, who has been in the job for less than a year, discovered that the city was in the hole, budgetarily speaking. And how was this not discovered before?
Yeah.
I don't know if that position had been open or just nobody was paying attention. But it is kind of disturbing, especially because, personally, I agree with the decision to keep wages in line with inflation as much as possible. That's really hard these days. And to protect people's insurance payment and retirement and that. But it seems like that has created a situation where the city really needs to do some cutting now. It says in this article that ran in the Albuquerque Journal that they may need to shave as much as $15.8 million.
Yeah, that's
from
a lot.
Their budget. That is a lot. And I don't know what their budgetary priorities are going to be.
Well, I think there are some areas where you can't touch. I mean, probably not. When you're looking to cut $15 million, probably everything gets touched.
Yeah.
But certainly, you don't want to cut back on public safety. You don't want to cut back on affordable housing. And I've always had a little bit of a problem with the fact that we have kind of a two-tier system, especially when it comes to retirement, that if you are a private sector worker, maybe you get a 401k. And if you do, it's probably not contributing, you know, nearly as much as it was before. Public sector employees are the only ones in the country anymore who have defined benefit retirement packages. I mean, nobody else gets that. And I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair to ask the taxpayers to pay a mechanic working for the city something that a mechanic working at any auto shop in town can't get.
I think the initial reason for the defined benefit pension plans for public sector workers is that the jobs paid less than those in the private sector. So the two things that you might get out of public sector employment were the promise of a pension and the sort of stability of employment,
right,
provided that you did a good job. And my take on it is that it is really too bad that defined benefit pensions went away
absolutely.
For private sector workers, because the whole idea was, all right, we switch everybody over to a 401k, and somehow that's going to do better over the long term. And, you know, certainly the Dow has gone up over time, but that doesn't mean that everyone has seen their retirement savings increase to the point where they are able to prosper in the long run.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely think that what everybody should get it. All I'm saying is that the fact that the private sector, and if you're an employee, I mean, this is the problem with the shrinking labor unions, and you just really don't have a lot of, unless you're united and have some kind of bargaining leverage, you get what they give you.
Yeah.
So we got kind of tipped off to this. Well, it's been probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. We used to have somebody on our board who works at the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and told us he was going to have to leave the board. And they were just scrambling because the city had lost all this money. And he wasn't sure if he was going to. And I haven't talked to him since then. So I don't know what has happened, if he has been able to keep his job. But, you know, he let us know that this was coming. And, you know, sure enough, here it is.
Yeah.
I think the city's a little bit constrained in terms of what they can do. I think they're at the highest level they can be on GRT.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where they go to make up for that revenue. I think they're just looking at cuts.
Yeah, maybe they can slow down on some of the initiatives that are taken. I don't really understand how the pots of money work.
But, no, I don't either.
There has been a lot of expansion in terms of like park building.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that can proceed more slowly. Certainly, I mean, maybe they don't need a track, an auto track for the police and other public safety officials to practice on. That was going to be millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It looks like one of the things that they're going to do is to leave some positions unfilled. But of course, what impact that has depends on what the positions are.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, and there's just no way to do that without impacting services.
Right.
So, that's an unfortunate situation that got a lot of questions as to how they allowed for that, you know, how they allowed that to happen.
Well, I would say the good thing is there's a lot of scrutiny of the city at all times. I mean, we not necessarily of the finances because people didn't know about this, but not a city council meeting goes by without people being there present and watching what's going on.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of meetings, I understand that at the last school board meeting, there was a 5-0 vote to rename Cesar Chavez Elementary. And I was happy to see that that happened.
Yeah.
I understand that there was commentary on both sides, you know, for and against. But in the final analysis, the name on a school, you know, is an honorific for somebody. And this is why I think they should be naming schools after, like, inanimate objects.
Yeah, yeah.
Not people.
That's fair. Or, you know, I would like to see them name schools after educators, maybe. Oh. You know, a beloved teacher. But I agree. And obviously, it's going to be a costly thing, but buildings all over the Southwest are going to have to change their name. And,
that's right.
And, you know, we're seeing it in Congress now. It seems like, well, I don't know. There's obviously no way to legislate against this kind of behavior. There's no way to. The only thing you can do is address it when it happens, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like in some cases there is a culture of being hush-hush about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, I know not to, you know, recommend any young women to be so-and-so's aide or intern. And that has to be just as unacceptable as the actual behavior. I remember when there was a very high-profile child abuse case that occurred in Doña Ana County. And one of the things that changed as a result of that was anybody who saw child abuse taking place and didn't report it was also accountable for what happened. And I think it's that kind of culture of accountability that we really need to start encouraging.
Was that the baby Brianna case?
It was. Yeah.
That, for folks who weren't here, that was just horrific. This child was left with the woman is the mother was out working, left the child with a boyfriend, and I think there was another man involved there too. I think there were two of them, if I remember right. And yeah, just shocked the conscience of this whole community. I mean, just how could this be happen? How can we allow this to happen? So yeah. I still remember that one well.
Yeah.
And I certainly remember the legislative committee hearings the next year when grieving parents from all over the state filled committee rooms just wailing. So that one was tough. Yeah, for sure. Let's change the subject.
Okay.
So, something more pleasant, like the war in Iran, I guess.
Yeah, what's going on there? I mean,
it's very interesting. It is very interesting. The best I can tell is the president is desperate to cut, and he has to. Here's what I think. I think he has to declare victory and come home.
Yeah, the problem is that declaring victory and coming home doesn't, like, negate the fact that currently all those ships are stuck in the Strait of Hormuz.
It doesn't.
Asia is running out of oil, and so the products that we depend on, that we import, those are going to be way more expensive if we get them at all. And Europe is running out of jet fuel, and, you know, when there is complete paralysis of the transatlantic transportation system, that's going to be a big issue.
I completely understand the problem with my solution is that it would require some humility and self-awareness on the part of our president. And so we're stuck, it seems like. It just seems like we're stuck.
I wouldn't like to be J.D. Vance right now.
No.
I mean, he is a person who I think has a fairly large-sized ego, and yet he is having to really tamp down his own impulses, which would have been not to get into this war to begin with, and he can't even go negotiate because, you know, he's completely at the whim of the president right now.
Yeah, and he has such a shallow view of everything. I mean, he has this notion that, well, we were there for 21 hours. We couldn't solve it in 21 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we've had aircraft carriers sitting there for longer than we've ever had an aircraft carrier sitting, I guess, that I've heard that today on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And we're spending $1 billion a day on this thing is what they're saying.
Yeah. It used to be that, you know, one party bragged of being the party of fiscal responsibility, but I'm really not seeing that now. And we are definitely getting news of the guns versus butter trade-offs when the president says, you know, we can't help with health care, we can't help with child care, because the most important thing, really the only thing the federal government needs to be responsible for, is defense.
That is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that is exactly right. And I think what is going to have to happen is the Republicans in Congress are going to have to take control, because the president is flailing. I do think we're going to change the subject to something a little bit more happy, because we did have a phone call, and I suspect this is going to be from the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico.
Okay.
And we are going to talk a little bit about Giving Day. If I get my, here we go. Okay. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I'd like to ask a question about the coming home for President Trump. We've got two major sporting events coming up, the World Cups and the Olympics.
Right.
And do you believe that any of this is playing into the hands of millions of dollars for millions of people and poor countries to be able to travel here for those sporting events?
Didn't even think about that part of it. If you're asking me, do I think it's a grand plan or some kind of scheme? I don't think that.
I think that FIFA tickets will have much less take up than they would have had under other circumstances, that people are not wanting to come here for those kinds of events because of, you know, first of all, the stuff that's been happening with ICE, and second of all, just it is not a very friendly environment right now in the U.S.
Right, but I'm talking about the economic structure of the devastation of our terrorism in Iran, where we've now reduced jet fuel for people all over the world. The poorest countries are going to pay the most, and are we eliminating competition for these events? And then, you know, when you take a public transit like New York City, and you charge $13 to get from one place to another in the stadium world, but now the tickets for FIFA are $113. Those kind of egregious amounts of money are being asked, and President Trump is now reducing the ability for people to come to the United States.
Well, that's a good point.
I guess what I would say, I don't disagree with any of that, but when it comes to World Cup, that is such an enormous event. You know, happens once every 4 years all over the world. The richest people in the world are going to be flying in for that, and you know, for them, it's chump change. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks. Go ahead.
I think that it's not a grand scam scheme. It's just people didn't even think about what's going to happen.
Oh, you are correct on that.
So every major hotel in the world, every ticket vendor, every criminal organization, prostitution, everything that goes along with the big games of the world are now going to suffer. So are they going to put pressure on Trump to come home?
Oh, that's a very good question. I assume that he's already getting all kinds of pressure to come home from all the. Well, you can see what the markets do. And he's got this pattern where on Friday afternoon he announces, we've got this big deal. We're going to do this big deal. And then the markets go way up. And then,
you know, somebody is definitely cleaning up, and it's not the American people.
That's another point. You're talking about all these prediction markets.
Oh, yeah. Prediction markets and just the timing of various announcements that come out of the White House and the impact on the stock market.
That is correct. Well, thanks for the call, caller.
Thank you.
And I was expecting a call from and still am expecting a call from the Community Foundation, but in case they don't, I will let you know that Giving Day is coming up on Friday. That is going to be this Friday. Giving Day is coordinated by the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico. We are one of more than 100 nonprofit organizations that are participating. It is an online event to help nonprofits. And their slogan is "Give where you live." The theory being that we give so much money to all of these great, worthy organizations that are in other parts of the country and sometimes in other parts of the world. And this is really focused on giving in your own community. And the thing that makes this very special for us is we have the opportunity to earn up to $500 in matching funds. The thing that makes it a little bit different is that we're always telling people to go to our website, lccommunityradio.org. This time, you need to go to a different website, and that is... Well, I forgot the SouthernNewMexicoGivingDay.org. SouthernNewMexicoGivingDay.org. I'm sure I got that right. I'm looking at Minerva. I think that's right. SouthernNewMexicoGivingDay.org. And you can actually go to our website, and we have a link to it on the homepage of our website. So if I got it wrong, and I was hoping they would call in, but apparently they got too busy today. The last few minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to let people know about some things that are going on at New Mexico State.
Yeah.
That might be interesting to people because they're both open to the public. William Kaiser, who is the chair of the history department at Texas A&M San Antonio, is going to be talking as part of the Borderland History Lectures in Branson Library in the first floor lobby tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m., and his topic is scalp warfare in the U.S.-Mexico borderlands. So he's going to be talking about how Chihuahua and Sonora implemented a bounty system to monetize the killing and scalping of Apaches as a strategy for conquest, part of a larger 300-year trend across North America. So that is one talk that might be of interest to people. And another opportunity to hear something potentially interesting, the biology graduate student organization at NMSU is sponsoring a talk with a Holocaust survivor. And that is going to be taking place on Friday from 12:30 to 1:30 at Domenici Hall, room 106 on the NMSU campus. And the person they're going to be talking to is Stephen Felton, who was born in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he and his mother were smuggled out right before the Warsaw Uprising. Yeah. So,
two very interesting talks. I mm-hmm. do think, do we have the Community Foundation on now? Yes, we do. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So let's start with the website. I think I messed that up. Why don't you start? Why don't we start by just letting you tell people what Giving Day is all about?
Well, thank you all for having us. So I'm Tara Winter. I'm with the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico, and we are partnering with our partners at Gila Community Foundation to host Southern New Mexico Giving Day. We've been doing this for a couple of years. And we are supporting over 115 organizations throughout Southern New Mexico to really build capacity and build their organizational wealth. So a lot of our organizations have matches. There's lots of prizes. And so it's been happening since the 13th was pre-giving, and we've got a couple more days, and we'll end on Friday.
And can you give people the website where they need to go to for that?
Yeah, so it's just SouthernNewMexicoGivingDay.org.
SouthernNewMexicoGivingDay.org. And then there's an organization thing, and they could go there and look for the organization that they're wanting.
Yeah, so when everyone goes to the homepage, it just says donate to make an impact. You can click right there, and then you can search for organizations. When you look down at the bottom, there's kind of a search panel, so you could look if you want to give to organizations in Deming, if you want to give to organizations here in Las Cruces, you can kind of choose your location. You can also choose your cause. So, you know, we tell people, you know, if you're really interested in animal welfare or assisting children, you can kind of place that in the cause. And then you can see all the organizations in Southern New Mexico that do work for our community.
And I know the I don't know what motto or what I want to call it, but give where you live. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we really, you know, we've been supporting Southern New Mexico Giving Day since 2019. Really, it's a day of online giving and just really focusing on give where you live, may it be being a volunteer at an organization or giving what you can. Many of these organizations have matches, so you could get a match for dollar for dollar. This is a great opportunity for non-for-profits to build their social media platform, for them to reach out online, get new donors. So really for us, we really want people to know what's in their local community and that they give here and give locally. So that's really kind of our mission for Southern New Mexico Giving Day.
And I know you're going to have a little event going on at your headquarters on Friday.
Yeah, so we invite the community to come visit with us on Friday from 11 to 1. It is our food truck give back. So we actually have several food trucks from the community that will be here in our parking lot. We have Family Dog, Acai with Me, Yawful Falafel, and the Drifting Drink. So people can come get lunch. They can kind of celebrate with us. We're going to have lots of prizes that day, a lot of opportunities to do social media and photos. So we just hope people come and enjoy, the 11 to 1 hour. All of those food trucks will actually choose a non-for-profit to give back a portion of their, the things that they make that day.
Well, I will just say that the Community Foundation for Southern New Mexico has been a great partner for KTAL as we have worked to improve our fundraising efforts here. And I want to appreciate you including us in this again this year and look forward to having a big day Friday.
Yeah, and we are really proud of KTAL. You guys have been really wonderful partners. I think for all of you to come and be a part of Giving Day and fundraise, I think is great. So listeners out there that support KTAL, there is a goal of $2,500 for KTAL. So I hope everyone listening today gets on and supports KTAL. But also look at all those other non-for-profits that are in our community and what you can support here locally.
Well, thank you for reminding me of us of that goal, because I should have mentioned that as well. And thanks for calling in this morning.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Okay. We are down to our last minute. Any final things that you want to say before we take a break and get into this? Just mention one more time that website is southernnewmexicogivingday.org. You drop down to the bottom where they have the organizations and go to KTAL. And the other kind of cool thing, as you mentioned, is you can look by cause. And so if you want to help out animal groups, there are a lot of different ways you can do it. So our thanks to the Southern Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico for including us in that. And we are going to take a quick break right now.